Praise the Lord. Yeah, this is the song I've been looking for about a month. Saw it one time about a month ago. As you journey through this world, are you doing deeds of love? Are you telling saddened hearts of the joy like that above? Are you helping weary souls here to bear the heavy load? Are you sending heaven's light out among the darksome road? Your deeds are recorded, don't you know it? Can you face that record today as it stands? Your deeds are recorded, don't you know it? Can you face the record as it stands today? Praise the Lord. I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That real blessing that we just found that again just a few minutes ago. It's amazing how the Lord allows things to come together. Just fits real nicely with what I want to speak about this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we just want to thank you, Lord, for your goodness and for your mercy to us. Lord, we just bow our hearts and our heads, Lord, in your presence. Father, we just pray, Lord, for your spirit, for wisdom, Lord, for grace, Father. Lord, the grace that appears to men to reprove them and show them your light, Father. We just ask, Lord, that you would have mercy upon us, mercy upon mankind, Father. Lord, we just pray, Father, that you'd help us be faithful to you and walk in that light as you show us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I want to greet you all again this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world. He called himself the way, the truth, and the light, and the life. In John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. In the very beginning, whenever man separated light from darkness, it's a blessing that you can even see this principle. The separation from light and darkness Jesus was light coming to a dark world. And the light came in and the darkness didn't understand it. The light came in and all the gray was dispelled. The light comes in, and it's like a sword, and it divides between truth and error. Bible says the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing asunder. It's able to discern between the joint and the marrows. The light comes to divide. I don't know how many times, but we're often told that we should be diplomats. Or that we ought to be out just smoothing things over. But God has given us a sword, not a butter knife. A butter knife smooths things over. A sword divides. God's people are going to be divided. They're going to be separated from this world. And there's a real separation there. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Whenever we walk in that light and live in that light, there's a distinction between light and darkness that the world cannot comprehend. And God has called us into that light. He didn't call us to walk somewhere shakily in the middle. There's a distinction with God. Light and darkness. Truth and deception. You can't have both. You have the truth or you have a lie. And anything in between is a lie. You have light and you have darkness. If you can't see, you're in darkness. No matter how much light may be shining in your eyes. We walk in the light. We live in the light. Jesus said, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Not, oh, maybe. If we're going to live for the Lord, one of the marks of Christianity is a truthfulness, an honesty. It's always been. The Bible says in Revelation that the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the whoremongers and murderers and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. We cannot have both. You cannot walk both paths. There are two ways. One is straight and narrow, the other is broad and wide. The broad and wide has truth all over it. It's full of truth. And you can just shape it any way you want to. But it's still the broad way that leads to hell. Doesn't matter. There's a separation. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. There's a distinction between this world and godliness. They're enemies, one with another. And you can't have a little of both. It will not work. And if you think that it will, you've deceived yourself. People often say, I don't know how often we've heard it, that if you tell someone the truth and you just say it outright, you'll drive people away from the Lord. That's another good one. It's another good one from Satan. It's another lie. If God has called us to do anything in this world as being light, it's to smoke out the rats. And when you shine light in a dark place, the rats go to running. Oh, you're driving them away. You're driving them away. No, you're proving who they are. Christians, people of God, love truth. They'll die for it. They'll die to be true. They'd rather lose their life than be thought to be untrue. The Bible says that in the last days, talking about the last days, that because iniquity abound, the love of the truth shall wax cold. It's amazing how many times truth and true and is in the Bible. And what it means. The love of the truth shall wax cold. You can't do anything today without a contract. You've got to sign your name to everything today. What a shameful, shameful, shameful society that is. No matter how moral it looks, no matter how nice it might appear, it's a mark of a shameful, shameless society. I remember a time when a man's word was who the man was. Man is only as good as his word. Whenever someone would say, "I'll do it," you knew that he had died before he wouldn't do it. Or die trying. A love of the truth. Isaiah bemoans the idea that truth is fallen in the streets. What do we say to all of this? What do we say to that? Oh, well, it just proves we don't have truth. Let's just go on and walk in darkness. No. If that's what it's saying to you, no. It ought to cause us to say, well, wait a minute, I want to be different. I want the truth. Instead of just saying, oh, well, that's the way it is. I guess I'm a liar. I guess I'll just give up. If that's what they think. No. Face it. Change it. People have said, well, you don't want to tell them not to do something, because if you tell them to do something, it's most certain that they will, just out of curiosity. That's why God told Adam, that's why it's God's fault, by the way. That's why God told Adam, don't eat the fruit. Because he knew they would, because he told them not to. No, I don't believe that's the way it was. I believe he told them not to eat the fruit, and the way man was created, he didn't want to. Because he was created after the image of God. And it's not God's nature to be rebellious. It's not natural for God just to be rebellious. It's God's nature to love what is true and what is right. If you have a wicked, sinful nature, when you're told and given rule or given a direction and you rebel against it and feel constrained by it, it's because you do not have the nature of God. Whenever someone presents truth to you and you run away from it, it's because you're running away from light. When you want the truth, you'll run to the truth. You'll seek it, and you'll find it. And you'll look for counsel that will guide you into the truth instead of departing from it. When God told Adam not to partake of that tree, what was Eve's response? Did she sound like, boy, God told me not to eat that. I just want to so bad. Whenever the devil came talking to her. No, that was not her response. Her response said, whenever Satan asked her what she should do, or what about this? She said, God said don't eat it or you'll die. She believed it. And it was the nature of man as God created him just to believe God. And it was the truth. But Satan deceived her. And he tricked her. And he told her, no. That's not the way it'll be. You'll be okay. Lie. Untruth. Darkness was presented to man. No, it's good. It'll make you to know good and evil. She was deceived, and she took it. And Adam saw what she had done. He had to make a choice. He had to make a choice. And he chose to sin against God. And from that time on, people have become partakers of a sinful nature. And people have blamed God because He gave them a test. Sin entered into the world. And so now when light comes, people love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And so when light comes, they go running away to show their own hearts where they truly are at. Light, goodness, comes to light. Darkness flees from it. And because light exposes that, and rats go a-running, it's not, the light isn't to blame because they love darkness. People try to blame the light. They try to blame us. That which exposes is truth. And people try to blame those who expose and those who walk in the light and shine the light as someone mean and cruel, full of hatred, because we're making all these rats run away. That's what the light is supposed to do. But the light has become darkness. If the light that is in you be darkness, it's worthless. Man's wicked nature is to rebel. The Spirit of God is drawing us to God. We are to become partakers of His divine nature. That's what He's called us to. But it takes courage and honesty to walk in that way, in this way. There's a way that people are using Ray Comfort. It's a common way to lead someone to salvation. They present the Ten Commandments. And I've, at first thought, it sounds pretty good. But it always just winds up laying the blame at God for the way we were created. They ask questions of people, trying to convince them of how wrong they are. It goes right along with the this is one of the principal teachings of how people show people that it's God's laws that bring us to Christ, with the idea, using the Bible verse, that the law is a schoolmaster that brings us to Christ, with the idea that the law's purpose is to show us how far our nature is from God. And so that how much we just need a Savior, but it does not address that men change. That the remedy is that the law is there to show us how to turn around and to give us direction to how to recover ourselves out of this darkness. The law shines light so that we can recover ourselves. Not that we can just say, oh, here I am, a poor, sinful thing, and I'm just going to wallow in my sin now. Starts out and they ask a person if they're a good person. And most people say, oh yeah, I'm a good person. And then they say, oh, really? Are you? Well, have you ever told a lie? Well, yeah. Everybody does. Well, what's that make you? Makes you a liar. Have you ever stolen anything? Well, yeah. Even a little thing? A lot of people say, no. Even something really small? Well, yeah, I guess I have. Well, what's that make you? That makes you a thief. And they go on through their little thing and about adultery and looking and lusting and having anger, which is murder. So basically, you're telling me by your own admission that you're a lying, thief, murdering, adulterer. Are you really a good person? And that's supposed to show them, no, they're not a good person, so they need Christ now. That's just a small version of it. That just produces moral cowards. It doesn't produce for someone to say, yes, I've done those things. And the reason that they're being exposed now is so that I can correct myself if I'll face it. What it does is just allows you to cover it up, and then they introduce the Jesus that comes along, and God demands righteousness, so He kills His own Son so that you can go free. It doesn't present Christ as seeing us bound in darkness, walking in darkness, and Christ coming into the world as light to show us the way, the truth, and the life, the way to get home. It just shows us a way to cover it all up. In fact, you can keep all of those things and still go get divorced and remarried. You can still go to war and kill people. You can still take oaths. Prove that you ain't going to lie. You can still live just as worldly. But now you're all okay. God's looking for people who are looking for the truth and want to walk in it. And live in it. And die for it. Just came back from a funeral in Mexico. Some people might have called it a baptism if they had driven by. It was a funeral. It's a real blessing. This young man there, when he was 12 years old, grew up in the Catholic Church, and he began to see the errors and the wrong and the deceitfulness that was there. Worshipping idols, and how worthless that was to worship a piece of stone or a rock or something formed by man's hand and bow down and pray to it. He could see the problems when he was 12 years old. And he began looking for truth. And he started praying when he was 12 years old. Lord, send someone to show me the truth. Send someone to show me the truth. I want someone who believes the truth. Send me someone. About 10 years later, 11, 12, I think he's 24. A couple years ago, seen a man standing out in front of the Catholic Church reproving them for their false idol worship, holding signs out in front of the church, reproving them. And he said, I don't know who those people are, he said, but they've got truth. They've got something. They're bold. They're not these moral cowards that are just going along with everything. They believe something. So he went up and started talking, and he talked a little bit, and he listened. And his heart just was warmed. This thought came to his mind. Here's the answer to your prayer. And he spent some time quietly. Marcus didn't even know really how interested he was. It was about the time Marcus came home. Marcus has been here for a couple of years or however long he was here. And he went back. As soon as he got back, this man heard that he was back, or he saw him standing again somewhere. And he came up to him, and he just was so happy. Because he had been following the truth that he had shared with him before. And he found out that it was the truth. And he wanted it. He'd been praying for it since he was 12 years old. He didn't run from it because it was hard. He ran towards it. All the moral cowards run away from it, hated it, didn't want it. But this one did. And he ran for it and waited for it. You don't think there's a difference between someone running from something and someone running to it? You don't think there's a difference between black and white? And you want to try to live in gray? You want to just smooth things over? Marcus told him this time he's going to go back. He said, before you go back, I want to be baptized. I want to live for the Lord. I want to follow Jesus. This is what I was created for. went down there. We had a meeting. The man was quiet. Sat through the meeting, and after the meeting, he said, "You know, before I came here, my wife is really upset with me. And I've got to go," he said, "because we always take my wife to my mother-in-law's, and I want to take her today so she can come tomorrow to be with us. She's against it. She don't like it. But I want to provide her an opportunity so she can come." So he took his mother, his wife back to where 30 or 40 minutes away to visit his mother, her mother for the weekend, their weekend visit. And he came back later that night and he said, "Well, we got the visit. My wife can come tomorrow. But she also said that if you go through with this, you're signing our divorce papers." You children want to flirt around with the world and find you a woman outside of the world? I hope you do. And I hope you want to return one day, and I hope she leaves you. You've seen enough truth. This man has been looking for it since time he's 12 years old. He didn't know no better. You'll get what you're going to get. And you deserve it. If God gives you the grace to return. He said, "But I'm going to go on anyway. I've found the truth." So we went to the baptism. His wife was there. And she sat in the back part of the crowd and cried the whole time. She was at a funeral. She knew it. He tried to comfort her. He's offered. He said, "I'll let you live this. I'll let you live here. I'll do whatever, but I've got to follow. I've got to follow. Because it's the truth." There's a difference. There's a difference between walking in light and just coasting along in the gray. The truth is worth everything. It's a pearl of great price that when a man finds it, he sells all that he has to get it. If it don't mean that to you, you're just stomping on it. The judgment day is going to reveal the moral giants and the moral sissies, the moral cowards. What are you? What is your record today? Are you happy with your record today? stand up and change it. Today. Decisions takes courage. Change takes courage. Facing, yeah, maybe I was wrong. I was wrong. I have been wrong. But I'm not going that way anymore. I'm not going to just wallow around in defeat and pretend that Jesus is going to take care of it. I want the truth. You know, there's people going to be so shocked on the judgment day they thought they were so right. I was visiting a man this week. An old man I go visit. And I showed up at his house. And he had the news on. And it had a camera in a courtroom. And it showed a verdict. Showed a sentence, I guess, being laid. And it had a woman on there, probably, maybe 40 years old. She was standing in front of the judge. She was a babysitter, I guess, and the baby died. And I don't know all the case. I don't know what all happened. But the baby died in her care, and I guess she had done something neglectful. Either that or I don't know. But she had been found guilty. And you could tell just by looking at her before the judge said anything that she is a little nervous, but just didn't look so bad. And then the judge said, I sentence you to 15 years in the State Department of Corrections. And her head went back. She said, oh, no. She fell down into her seat, crying. She's going to prison for 15 years, and it hit her just like a ton of bricks. She probably thought she's going to get off. Her little mousy lawyer, just his mouth dropped, and he just felt like he just lost everything. And she was weeping and crying. Oh no, oh no. Reality set in. The judgment day came. The judgment day came. Are you ready for your record as it is? Your deeds are recorded. Don't you know it? Can you face that record today as it stands? as it stands today? Father, Lord, help us walk in your light and in your truth. Help us, Lord, I pray, to be men of God, women of God, separate from this world. Lord, that there'd be a clear distinction of light and darkness in us, Father. Help us be faithful to you, Lord. Help us love the truth. In Jesus' name, amen.